following him can be really lonely business. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That's me wrong, and this is Key Life. He doesn't think of himself as super spiritual, but he is honest. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach to apply it to daily living. See?
Thanks, Mike. If you're just joining us, we're in the book of Jeremiah. We've been there 2 or 3 weeks, but I'm kind of going to some of my favorite chapters. And one of my favorites is the 20th chapter of Jeremiah, and it's an illustration of standing alone. We talked about the honesty of Scripture. You want to see something that will keep you awake at night? I wouldn't read this if I were you for my evening devotions just before going to bed. I mean, read the 23rd Psalm, but don't read this. But this is Jeremiah, man of God. I mean, a man greatly used of God, but only in retrospect. And everything we talked yesterday, everything he did failed. And he gets frustrated. Listen, start at the 14th verse of the 20th chapter. I talked about the honesty of Scripture. Listen to this. Cursed be the day in which I was born. Whoa. You belong to God. You can't say that. Let the day not be blessed in which my mother bore me. Let the man be cursed who brought news to my father, saying, a male child has been born to you, making him very glad. And let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew and did not relent. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noon, because he did not kill me from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave, that her womb always enlarged with me. Why did I come forth from the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? The honesty of the Bible. And there's a man of God going through burnout and tiredness and loneliness and hurt and pain. Let me tell you something. Your pastor goes through that sometimes. If he really does, you don't think so. He or she sometimes have to do what Jeremiah did, and they need somebody to come and stand with them and to hold up their arms. Every Friday when Pete, my pastor, comes in, and I always ask him to lead us in prayer before we answer questions. Pete always prays for the leaders of the church, because that can be a really hard place. Tell you what, why don't you, today or tomorrow, give your pastor a call and just say, I just want you to know I was praying for you and I love you. Don't ask for anything. Don't tell him his sermon was bad. Don't tell him that he's ugly in his mother's dresses. Don't try to correct him. Don't try to fix him or her. Just pick up the phone and say, I want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. The Scripture is so very honest about the realities. I have a friend who was going on a prominent television show, Christian television show, and he was going through a tough time, but God had been faithful and he wanted to talk about it. And in the pre-interview, he said, well, things have not been going well in my ministry recently, and I wanted to kind of tell people that God was faithful, even though there's some failure here, and ask men if they would pray for me. That would be cool. And the pre-interviewer said, no, it really would not. And if you can't think of anything positive, if you can't think of anything up, anything challenging, anything exciting, then we're going to have to find another guest. And I go, what? Are you crazy? All you do is put people in a bad position. When you got a microphone or you got a television camera, you got to tell people the truth. Because God in the Scriptures always tells the truth. I mean, when you read the Bible about our family, it's not the kind of family you want to brag about all the time. I mean, they're liars and thieves, incestuousness. There's people lying about I'm not going to go on, but I mean, these are not wonderful folks. And you kind of think, I don't believe I'd say that. Let me tell you something. God decided to say that so that you wouldn't get discouraged. He tried to say that so that you wouldn't just burn out and say, man, I'm just not good enough. When you read the Bible, you read an honest book. And that was the first thing that we saw yesterday. And I'm going to move on. I don't want to beat that to death. I want you to see the loneliness of obedience. Jeremiah is walking by himself. Listen to this. For I heard, this is the 10th verse, I heard many mocking, fear on every side. Report, they say, we will report it. All my acquaintances watch for my stumbling, saying perhaps he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge against him. You ever been there? You ever done what God told you to do, and people didn't like you for it? I've been there. You know, I've been an evangelical before it was popular to be an evangelical. What's that country song? I was country for country. Was cool. Well, I was an evangelical before, but now we've won the battle. I mean, we've got the big churches, our books sell, our magazines. I mean, the liberals don't matter anymore. So you just need to know that battle's over. But when I joined this bunch, I want you to know our churches were the little ones. Our magazines, nobody read. Nobody read our books. I mean, it's just awful. I'm sort of glad I did that, because now I can say I was evangelical before evangelical was cool. I was fundamental before fundamental was cool. I've been doing this for a whole lot of years. Now, you need to know, in those days, I thought I was an intellectual. People were looking at me and saying, my, he's articulate. He's going to climb the ecclesiastical ladder. He's going to have a wonderful career. And then Jesus came along and messed it all up. I mean, he got me. And C.S. Lewis just said, to say I was searching for God was like saying a mouse was searching for a cat. Well, I finally said, all right, I'm not good, but I'm yours, and I don't like it. And please note the heel marks from where I was to where I am. But I did it. And not only that, I said it. I mean, I told people what had happened, that this guy who had been playing games with God had decided to get committed. And I remember in the town where I was serving, the man who served the biggest church in that city found out what had happened to me, and I watched him as he crossed the street so he wouldn't have to walk on the same side of the street with me. I was devastated. You say, well, how could you be devastated? You're a man of God. You were standing for God. Listen, man, I know, but it wasn't easy. If you think Martin Luther said, here I stand, I can do no other, you're crazy. Martin Luther's a friend of mine. He said, here I stand. I wish I could do something else, but I can do no other. It's pretty scary sometimes to stand alone and be by yourself. It was really hard. One of the reasons I love John DeBrine in New England is that one time he called me and said, Steve, you owe me. And I said, why do I owe you? He said, because I heard a rumor about you. And they were spreading rumors about me because of what happened to me. He said, I traced it down. I went through four people. I found it, and I told him that he was lying through his teeth. And I'll always be thankful to John DeBrine for doing that for me. Now, that doesn't mean you always stand alone. God always gives you brothers and sisters to stand with you. He'll bring some people to hold up your arms. But I'll tell you something. If you're going to stand for God, sometimes you're going to have to do it alone. And if you think that's fun, I've got a swamp to sell you in South Florida. If you think that's fun, I've got a bridge to sell you in New York. It's hard to stand alone, but if you stand alone, he'll stand with you. You say, that's cool. Say that again. If you stand alone, he will stand with you. Some of you guys have a devotional life that's just awful right now. Maybe you need to stand up. Lose a few friends. I'll never forget my dear friend Michael in Miami. He's become a Christian. It's kind of a slip into the kingdom deal. I mean, he was a pagan, and his wife Betty was a Christian, but Michael, I visited Betty in the hospital one time, and Michael wouldn't even speak to me. He loved his wife, but he didn't like me. And he read a book the whole time. Then started coming to church occasionally, and then he came out of the door of the church, and he said, I pulled a C.S. Lewis today. And then he kept on walking. I didn't know what he was talking about. And then I realized, he's become a believer. I was so excited. I can't tell you. Well, we were friends, and we became really close friends. And he said one time, Steve, I've got a lot of these friends, man, who don't know what's happened to me. What am I going to do with them? I mean, how am I going to... What should I do with him? I said, don't worry about it. It'll take care of itself. A couple of weeks later, he said it did. They won't even call me now. Won't even speak to me. Went through a period of loneliness. Let me tell you, that's the loneliness where God comes. It's the place where you meet him, in the place of pain and loneliness. And we're going to find that as we go through this 20th chapter. It's awful what Jeremiah said. When he said, cursed be the day in which I was born. That's when he realized he was standing alone. But I'm going to give you a statement of faith before we finish this week. And you're going to find that in the midst of the loneliness, God grows men and women of God. Not mean-spirited. Humble men and women of God. Men and women of God who will stand no matter what. Men and women who won't back off no matter what. That's what we need. We don't need yellers. We don't need arrogant elitists. We need people who say, I wish this weren't true. But it's true. And because it's true, and I can't unsee truth once I've seen it, I'm going to stand. And I'm going to stand no matter what. That pleases God. And when you stand, he'll stand with you. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have the booklet we're offering this month, I'd love to send it to you. From Panic to Power is the name of it. If you're going through a panic time, you're afraid or confused or searching or doubtful, this booklet's going to help. And you might want to give it to a friend who's going through that, and I'll send it to you free as long as supplies last. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address and ask for the booklet From Panic to Power. When I say it's free, I honestly, really, really mean that. But that doesn't mean that I'm dumb and I'll turn down a contribution. Some of you guys have been called to stand with us financially so we can give this stuff away. And if you can do that, be as generous as you can. We'll be so faithful with your gift. We'll squeeze every dime and use it for God's glory and my honor. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, or you can include a contribution in your envelope. And I would be appreciative for any contribution of any size when you request it. I'll send you the cassette teaching, Forgiven and Forgotten, as my thank you. How to deal with the problem of guilt and experience forgiveness. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.